enemy, my work's not done. People can hear that as a motive for doing inquiry. It's not. It's an observation. If you do the work with any kind of motive, even the best of motives, getting your husband back, or healing your body, or saving the world, it won't be genuine because you'll be looking for a certain kind of answer, and you won't allow the deeper answers to surface. Only when you don't know what you're looking for can you be open to the answers that will change your life. Any motive other than the love of truth won't work. It's the truth that sets you free. That's an accurate statement. It's not just written in a Bible somewhere. And the truth we're talking about is not someone else's truth, it's your own. That's the only truth that can set you free. Yielding or surrendering to the way of it is easy once your mind is clear. What people call surrender is actually a noticing. You notice that everything is continually disappearing and you celebrate it as it goes back to where it came from, non-existence, the uncreated, and eventually surrender ceases to be necessary. The word implies that there's something outside you to surrender to. But you just notice what isn't, what's gone, what you can never prove existed in the first place, a sound, a name, a picture, a voice. You keep noticing until finally there's nothing to surrender to. The mind surrenders to itself. When it isn't at war with itself, it experiences a world that is completely kind, the benevolent mind projecting a benevolent world. It can no longer validate suffering on this earth because it has ended suffering within itself. It becomes completely pitiless, completely loving. People ask how I can live if nothing has meaning and I'm no one. It's simple. We're being lived. We're not doing it. Without a story, we move effortlessly, fluidly, without resistance. This possibility can be very frightening for people who think that they have control. So question your thoughts and see how life goes on so much more kindly without you. Even in the world's apparent collapsing, I see only joy. If you knew how important you are, you would fragment into a billion pieces and just be light. Any concept keeps you from the awareness of that. If you really knew who you are without your story, you'd have to be the nameless, the limitless, the ecstatic, just a fool, crazy with love. It's so painful to live outside the light. I don't know how people do it. It was so painful that I could do it for only 43 years, 43 centuries.
Ordinary people hate solitude, but the master makes use of it, embracing her aloneness, realizing she is one with the whole universe.
We're born alone, we die alone, and we live alone, each on our own planet of perception. No two people have ever met. Even the people you know best and love with all your heart are your own projections. Sooner or later, you're the one who's left. Do you realize how wonderful that is? After all, you're the one you go to sleep with and wake up with. You're the one who orders your favorite food and loves your favorite music. You've always been your favorite subject, your only subject. It's all about you. There's nothing sweeter than being with myself, by myself. The amusement, the wonder of thoughts. They appear so real in their brilliance. They create the whole world, the majesty and play of it, the life of feelings, the joys that mine brings forth as nectar to itself. Thoughts appear from nowhere. They move by like clouds. They change, they dissipate, they're gone. Who named the sky? How did he know that? I sit with my eyes closed. 2 hours pass. Then it occurs to me that not a single thought has happened. I discover that tears of joy are running down my cheeks. I don't stop them even though the joy seems bigger than I can contain. All that it was, and ever could be, is invited to live at its highest power now. It's all right if it kills me. It doesn't matter. I know not to stop it. I become so bright, so weightless and lived, so fearlessly allowing that the joy can have its own full life through me. And as everything becomes visible, I see its true nature, which is love. Everything is burned up as this joy has its way with me. I could kiss the ground. I could make love with the dirt, with the cement, the leaves, the soil, the texture of reality between fingers that can't even hold it. There's nothing to grasp, nothing that can be controlled. I notice that I'm worshiping not with any words, but with palm of hand against cheek. Where will this love end? How could I possibly know? And eventually, the sobbing changes to the softest whisper, a breath, and then not even that.
The gentlest thing in the world overcomes the hardest thing in the world.
The gentlest thing in the world is an open mind. Since it doesn't believe what it thinks, it is flexible, porous, without opposition, without defense. Nothing has power over it. Nothing can resist it. Even the hardest thing in the world, a closed mind, can't resist the power of openness. Ultimately, the truth flows into it and through it like water through rock. When the mind first becomes a student of itself, it learns that nothing in the world can possibly oppose it. Everything is for it. Everything adds to it, enlightens it, nourishes it, reveals it. It continues to open because it's in a fearless, undefended state, and it's hungry for knowledge. And when it realizes that it's nothing, it can penetrate everywhere, even when there's no room for it, no place to receive it. People are afraid to be nothing. But being nothing is only one aspect of it. Not only is it nothing to be afraid of, it's a cause for celebration. Without your stressful story, there is no stress, obviously.